This is Josh Blackman. I'm speaking live with Tim Sandifer, who's an adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute and also a litigator at the Pacific Legal Foundation. Tim, how are you doing?
Just fine, thanks.
Tell us a little about McDonald v. Chicago, a case coming up in the Supreme Court this term.
This is the follow-up on last year's big Second Amendment case, and the question in this case is whether states are also required to respect the individual right to keep and bear arms. Last year, the Supreme Court held that the Second Amendment does guarantee an individual's right to possess firearms for personal protection, and this case asks whether that right is what they call incorporated against states under the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. The 14th Amendment says that states are not allowed to deprive you of the privileges or immunities of citizenship, and they're not allowed to deprive you of liberty without due process of law. And what's happened is that through the course of the 20th century, the Supreme Court has said that the Due Process Clause requires states to respect the guarantees of the Bill of Rights, not all of the guarantees of the Bill of Rights, because they've never heard a case on whether the Second Amendment is something that states have to respect. And as far as the privileges or immunities are concerned, that's where the case gets particularly interesting, because this case involves an 1873 decision, precedent called the Slaughterhouse Cases, which was really the only case, more or less, that the Supreme Court has ever decided that interpreted that clause. And what happened in that case was the court basically erased that clause from the U.S. Constitution. So what's exciting about this case is that it goes way beyond gun rights. This is a case about how states are required to respect individual rights and how the Constitution protects people against abuse or infringement by their own state and local governments. So it's actually, this could end up being easily the biggest case of the decade. It's a fundamental case about how federal and state governments work to begin with.
And as a Pacific Legal Foundation taking a position in this case?
Yes, we have a brief that we drafted and we're submitting on Monday. It's a friend of the court brief that argues that the court should overrule the Slaughterhouse Cases and restore vigor to the Privileges or Immunities Clause of the 14th Amendment and protect the rights of all citizens, not just constitutional rights, but also their natural rights and their common law rights against the abuses by their state governments. And this is a very important issue, not, like I said, not just for gun owners, but for businesses, for example, or entrepreneurs, because at the time that the 14th Amendment was written, this is 1860s, when the 14th Amendment was written, one of the fundamental rights that was supposed to be protected by the Privileges or Immunities Clause was the right to earn an honest living without unreasonable interference by the government. And in particular, the right to earn a living without being closed out of the market by a government-created monopoly, which was long recognized as a right in the English common law back to the 1600s. And what happened was, in the Slaughterhouse Cases, the Supreme Court held that the state of Louisiana could create a monopoly in the butchering industry, give that monopoly to a single private corporation, and there was nothing you could do about it. And that has remained good law since then. That was 130 years ago, and that's still good law. And so as a result, although the Supreme Court has, in more recent years, protected individual rights against abuses by states, it has never completely protected that right, and in recent years, it has not given really any realistic protection to entrepreneurs and business owners against interference by states.
Even if the Supreme Court finds that the right to keep and bear arms is a privilege or immunity, do you really think there's a possibility they'll reinvigorate some sort of economic liberty or liberty of contract or the right to earn an occupation? Do you think that's something that the court will actually try to accomplish?
Well, I can't say what the specific justices will or will not do, but as far as the law is concerned, the precedent is very strong for it. If you look in the history of the Privileges or Immunities Clause of the 14th Amendment, the framers of that clause say over and over again during the debates that one of the fundamental rights that they intended the Constitution to protect was economic freedom, the right to own a business, the right to run a business, and to work for yourself without unreasonable government interference. And if the court is going to revive the Privileges or Immunities Clause, I think what it's going to have to do is at least look at the history of what that clause was intended to do, what the framers were talking about at the time. And when they look into that history, there's no way to escape the fundamental importance of economic freedom in the Constitution.
So what's your prediction for McDonald?
Well, I will optimistically predict that the Supreme Court will overrule the Slaughterhouse Cases. say, acknowledge that it was wrong in the 1870s and restore meaningful protection to all constitutional rights under the Privileges or Immunities Clause. I think that's at least a realistic prediction, because the Legal Academy law professors are virtually unanimous in holding that decision was wrong. The sitting justices have more or less admitted as much in a case about 10 years ago called Sines versus Roe, when all of the justices on the court expressed at least some sort of discomfort, and some of the justices came right out and said that they thought that case was wrongly decided. So I think the chances are there. Now, the danger is that the court could say that the Second Amendment is incorporated, but only under the Due Process Clause instead, and that we don't need to go to the question of whether Slaughterhouse was or was not wrongly decided. The problem with that is you could do that any time. You know, in any case that argues that the Privileges or Immunities Clause should be reinvigorated, the court could say, oh, well, we don't need to deal with that because we'll just use the Due Process Clause instead. And under that theory, then you never get back to the question of whether this case 130 years ago was right or wrong. So I'm hoping that the court won't try and take the easy route. If they do at least reconsider the issue, there's no question that at least some of the justices are going to say, this case was wrong. We need to restore the constitutional framework to the way that it was intended to be made in 1868 when the 14th Amendment was added to the Constitution.
My last question, in the event that they do give some meaning to privileges and immunities, what happens to substantive due process?
Well, this is a serious concern. Substantive due process, of course, is the theory that the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment doesn't just guarantee your right to some sort of procedure, but also guarantees you secures you against abuses by government under whatever form they're enacted. This was a theory that was widely understood and generally accepted in 1868 when the amendment was added to the Constitution, and it is a legitimate and important part of constitutionalism. This is important to emphasize because, sadly, a lot of people, particularly conservatives, have really attacked the theory of substantive due process in recent decades. And one of the things that they say is, well, judges just make up the laws that go along under this theory, and they say that this theory was just invented because the court got it wrong in the Slaughterhouse cases, and so they just used the Due Process Clause instead. And that's not true. Substantive due process, as I said, was widely understood and generally accepted at that time. And it has a legitimacy that goes beyond the question of privileges or immunities. And not to get too technical, what we argue in our brief is that substantive due process is a valid theory that should remain as part of our constitutional law regardless of whether or not the court revisits the Privileges or Immunities Clause.
All right, Tim, very good. Thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.